National Bible Week encourages Americans to return to biblical roots. As secular forces appear to become more influential, there still remains an intensely devout America that remembers that its roots are in Bible, according to the president of the National Bible Association. People say that we don't live in a People say that we live in a post-Christian nation, but I don't think so, said Peter A. Giersch, whose ministry is sponsoring the National Bible Week November 20th to 26th. I think we have two separate nations, the Bible Association president commented. We have a very deeply Christian society right now. I think our nation is more Christian and in some ways more religious than any other nation in the world, but alongside this very deeply spiritual and devout nation is this nation that is very hostile to religion and frankly is very depraved. And this is the Hellbound Alley program. I'm Allie, and with me is the lovely Francois.
Who is very depraved.
He's the very depraved.
And we have with us two depraved sinners.
Yes, we have Aaron Kinney.
Hello.
And Jack Doling.
Jake.
I'm sorry, Jake Doling.
Oh, okay. Jake
Beer. Rhymes with bowling. So apparently, I've been mistaken all these years, and half of the nation in the United States is just like me. I didn't know that somebody who is hostile to religion. I really, really thought I was in the minority, but I guess I'm wrong.
And I found this on Jaywalk blog, and in answer to that, he had a verse. But apparently, I don't know, I can't get to it. I don't know what's going on with our internet today. We're having some problems.
I think it's funny. You ever notice...
You know, it's the verse where if you rape a woman, you have to marry her?
Yeah, he wanted to point out that there's plenty of verses in the Bible that are depraved. But what I was going to say is that...
Wait, I got it. He says, here's just one example that God himself is pretty depraved. Deuteronomy 22:28-29. If a man happens to meet a virgin who is not pledged to be married and rapes her and they are discovered, he shall pay the girl's father 50 shekels of silver. I don't know how much that is in currency.
Yeah.
He must marry the girl, for he has violated her. He can never divorce her as long as he lives. So there you go.
Well, there's worse. There's a lot worse. But what I was trying to say earlier was that I noticed something common to Christian advocates like this gentleman when there's a need for Christians to appear somewhat persecuted, there's a great deal of people out there hostile to religion, but, you know, like half of the nation is just like me. But on the other hand, when they need to seem that most people, you know, agree with them, all of a sudden, you know, almost everybody is Christian, and why are you arguing?
It's like just convenience.
I mean,
to feel persecuted.
Well, you know, they can be persecuted when they want to, and they can be a majority when they want to. It's this is obvious. He's obviously trying to do that.
It's ironic, really.
Yeah.
I like that the root of America is in the Bible.
Well, I mean, you can always, of course, America has many roots. I mean, whatever the root means, obviously there is a root of America that is, in the soil of Christianity, but, you know.
Well, I think if you're talking about values, yes, I think.
If you think that the root of America is Puritans,
yeah,
it was. I mean, their root is the soil is a misinterpretation of Revelation, in that America was the New Jerusalem, and of course, there's nothing in Revelation that suggests that the New Jerusalem is on Earth or really anything like the United States. But
besides, isn't
that
New Jerusalem supposed to be a cube?
You mean heaven? I don't think New Jerusalem
is the same. It's called New Jerusalem. It's a city. Heaven is a city.
I don't know if New Jerusalem is supposed to be the same as heaven.
Yeah, I think so.
But in any case, the Puritans, you know, were a small number of people, and there were certainly other people, you know, coming to the United States. The Puritans were not the basis of the United States.
Well, I'm not saying that there's no... of course, America is particularly Christian, and I'm not arguing that its values and culture and so on don't have some roots in the Bible and biblical ideas and concepts. But I think if you're talking about America, you're talking specifically about institutions, mm-hmm. you're talking about the law, you're talking about...
Definitely.
You're talking about the basis of your way of life.
Now, these you things can take this to its ultimate conclusion, though. If you talk about the root of America as Puritans, you can start to explore the root of Puritans. And where do they come from? Well, you know, the root of Puritanism comes from... who knows? I mean, you trace it back to paganism, and you trace that back to much more primitive societies and religions, and there you go. The root of America is, I don't know, sun worship. So
complex issue. I mean, religion permeates almost all society. I mean, it's not something you can separate from most any other subject.
No, I'm not saying that, absolutely.
But if you're talking about America as the institution itself...
Yeah, if we're talking about something clear-cut like the law and the basis for our civilization, I think, like I like to write about on my blog, Christianity, Christian principles, biblical principles, stands clearly and squarely against the basis of Western civilization, modern value.
Well, not all of them, but yeah, most of them do.
Definitely. And no, I'm not talking about Christians. I'm talking about Christianity.
Well, it also depends which Ten Commandments you want to go by.
Right.
Yeah, I'm talking about the Christian principles and biblical principles.
Well, I mean...
And I would also
add
the
number one most important Christian principle is monotheism and one God. I mean, well, it's pretty clear.
And but even then they messed that up with the Trinity.
But if I mean, America is just can't be based on monotheism if we're trying to have, you know, this democracy and freedom of expression and worship. But
well, all I'm saying is, if you look at the laws, and you look, for example, at the Ten Commandments, you'll find that eight out of these ten are not reflected in the laws,
right.
And many of them are in direct contradiction.
And we're talking about the Protestant kind that Roy Moore had on his monument.
even the Bill of Rights, you know, the first commandment,
the second commandment,
the first commandment goes against the First Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you can't get any more basis for America.
Well,
the,
you know, when people say things like that, when people challenge you with things like that, I really wouldn't mind asking them what the Ten Commandments are, because, you know, 75% of the time, maybe 85%, they won't know more than three or four of them, if that.
Well, like I said, there's also different versions. I mean, there's Exodus 20, chapters 1 through 17. There's Exodus 34, chapter 14.
Well, yeah,
14,
I mean,
there's Exodus
different.
34, chapter 17.
Thou shalt not see the goat in
Exodus
its mother's milk.
Exodus 34, chapter 21, and then they all have different rules. Yeah, I mean,
yeah, well,
all,
if you can be specific and say, what are the Ten Commandments as understood by, say, Justice Roy Moore and the, you know, the traditional Protestant type commandments, and they still aren't going to know. I mean, of course, nobody knows thou shalt not see the kid in its mother's milk, and you should celebrate the Feast of Weeks and the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, but it's even so, the traditional as in traditional Western 20th century society, they are still not going to know what those Ten Commandments are. They think that the Ten Commandments is don't lie, cheat, or steal, or sleep with the someone else's wife, you know, which is not.
Jake, do you know which version it is, the Ten Commandments, that are the most popularly used by Christian America? Yeah, the most well-known is probably Exodus 20.
Exodus 20,
yeah. I don't have a copy of it, so I can hear it. But,
I think there's a, it's either American Atheists or the Infinite Infidels. They have a PDF document available online that lists the different versions.
Yeah, you can find that easily.
Discussing it with Christians, and it says which 10 commandments on it.
Definitely, definitely.
Actually, like 11 or 12, if you really want to get technical. And it depends on how you interpret it, really. I mean, does a thou shalt not, if that comes before, does that really qualify as a commandment? Things like that.
Right, you just Google which version of the Ten Commandments and you'll probably get that site. And you'll get an HTML one, which is easier to read. And it's excellent, and it has like six versions in there or something. And really, I mean, you can get into that whole argument about the Feast of Weeks and the Feast of the Unleavened Bread and the first of everything is mine. And really ask people why they don't care about that anymore. And
I don't think it matters. I mean, all Americans are all image. So are Christians, and a lot of them are the same kind of people. I mean,
definitely.
90% image, 10% stupid. I'm sorry.
I totally agree. I don't think that most American government politicians care about Christianity at all. They care about looking Christian, and I think the people in the United States care about them looking Christian, but don't care about them following Christian values either, so.
I'll bet you that 90% of the self-declared Christians in America are not even aware that there's more than one version of the Ten Commandments.
No.
And they support it, you know, they'll support the Ten Commandments in a courthouse or whatever, but they won't even understand what it is they're saying or what it is they're supporting because they're unaware of those.
They're going through the motions, they're not. They're just going with the flow, going with the majority, I think.
Boy, we've touched on so many things we could talk about, but we...
Definitely, but we have to, continue.
It's an interesting subject, but...
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, but I would just like to say that this guy, whoever this moron is very ignorant if he thinks that the United States is more religious than any other nation in the world.
Oh, yeah. I know.
I'm sorry, that's complete bullshit.
It's funny, it's kind of like the Muslims that say that Christians are atheists. You know, you refer to everybody as an atheist if they're a different religion.
What do you even mean by more religious? I mean, somebody prays harder or somebody, I don't know, eats more crackers and wine.
He doesn't even qualify.
Yeah, that's a good point. What does that mean?
He measures it by rates of imagined cannibalism, eating the unleavened bread.
Like, everything that moves and everything that talks, everything is completely moved by God, like a marionette or something.
Mm-hmm.
But what, where we, I guess we need to go on.
Exactly.
Anyway, our show is available on Free Thought Radio every Saturday at 8 p.m. and Sunday at 7 p.m. and every evening on our Hellbound Alley station. And our live show is on Free Thought Radio on Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time and also every day on the Hellbound Alley station at 2 p.m.
And tomorrow we will have a Hoven recitation contest. So that should be fun.
Yeah, we need people to call in and recite Kent Hoven poetry for us, and we will vote on the best one.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. There will be a prize. Anyway, our website is at hellboundalley.com, and our email address is allie@hellboundalley.com. And you can also find us on various podcast directories, including Yahoo Podcasts and iTunes.
Hey, it was Aaron's birthday 2 days ago.
Yes, it was.
Happy birthday, Aaron.
Thank you. My birthday was on Thanksgiving Day this year.
What a drag.
Yeah, 7 or 8. Leap year coming
off. Yeah. Mine's today, so.
Oh, hey, happy birthday.
Yeah, thank you.
That's funny.
Bona fete, everyone.
So.
Sagittarius, you gotta watch out for him.
Two birthday boys.
There's a lot of, I know a lot of people with birthdays this time of year. So.
Yeah, well, you know, a lot of people are having sex in the spring, I think. That's what it is.
I thought that people were supposed to be having sex in the winter.
Well, yeah, in that area, yeah. It's usually the birthdays fall more into August, September, October.
It's funny, speaking...
But you have some in November,
speaking
too.
Of babies and Puritans, I always like to talk about this, you know, when we talk about the damn Puritans, they were so Puritan that they had an enormously high unmarried teen pregnancy rate.
Oh, really?
And especially at Christmas time.
Wow.
When sleeping together was something that you just had to do to survive.
I've said it multiple times on my blogs. The repression leads to compulsion, you know?
And cold
weather.
Yeah,
I mean, it's only a sin if you think it is, really.
Well, you still see that in the United States today. Look
yeah.
at the high teen pregnancy rate versus
among Christians.
Canada and Spain.
Well, you have any facts on me? I mean, aren't more Christians addicted to porn? I mean, I find porn and, I don't know, there's a few other topics that are just ridiculous, but,
yeah.
I don't know about porn, but we did see a documentary about the Amish that said that their teen unmarried pregnancy rate was especially high, and, and also problems with certain diseases, as far as a closed community goes.
Is that like the Mennonites or something? I mean, is there a specific sect of them, or is it just overall?
Overall, Amish community. Well, the Amish community. I watched a movie called The Devil's Playground, and that's what they claimed. So,
you know, absence is the only form of safe sex, and by sex I mean S-E-C-T, best, you know.
Safe sex. Yeah, abstinence isn't even sex, so it's not even safe sex. It's the lack of.
Yes.
They think that it includes butt sucking, by the way.
That's like state by state. About abortion rates and stuff, though, and the Bible Belt scores pretty high with abortions.
Well, don't they have to go to other states to get the abortion? I mean, I don't know anything about state to state.
No, maybe some of them do, but I don't think it's a requirement. I think that they do have a lot of abortion clinics in the Bible Belt areas, and they've also done news stories about schools in the Bible Belt that are preaching abstinence only, and then they find themselves with really high pregnancy rates in the high school.
Yeah, we do that here. We have abstinence-only sex education. I'm in Indiana. I mean,
we'll have to find a news story on that and talk about that on another show, because I think it's pretty important. But
yeah.
Anyway, Frank,
yeah, today's show's about blogs.
Yeah.
That's right.
Sorry, there's so much to talk about really.
Always.
Fascinating to me.
So, every one of us here has a blog. And because we don't have anything else to do, just kidding.
Some of us have multiple blogs. I think that there's four people on this show today, and we're representing like six or more blogs.
Well, let's see.
So that's actually a lot of variety, I think.
First of all, there's Jake Doling, who has his blog Think Outside the Church.
Mm-hmm.
There's Aaron has his blog Killing the Afterlife. No, Kill the Afterlife. Kill the Afterlife.
Yeah, same difference, yeah.
Allie has Hell by Allie blog. And I am the head of the group blog Goosing the Antithesis, of which Aaron is also on, and the Radical Libertarian, which is not atheist. Well, a little bit. So,
yeah. It is atheist.
Yeah, a little bit. It's individualist.
It's an atheist, but political.
It's an individualist blog. So it's necessarily free thinking because it's individualist. So I
and
guess you can say
and we've all pretty much contributed to some carnivals and.
I don't know about you.
Sure.
Yeah. Right.
Oh
okay.
Yeah.
I don't think Jake has yet.
Well, I contributed to a carnival.
Yeah.
I've contributed to the Goddard Out Carnival.
Oh, that's
well, there we go.
Okay.
I mean, that just started a month ago.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, another thing is that we're all pretty new.
Yeah, I'm only, I've been doing it for 2 months. Mine is actually at www.godisforfishandsheep.blogspot.com. It's called Think Outside the Church.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I've been doing it for about two months, but I've been active on the web for a little over a year now, probably.
Yeah, I've seen you around for a while, Jake, and I know that just recently you started that blog, but you and me have been in communication for a while.
Well, I like contributing to a lot of different blogs, not necessarily just writing one. My blog is really just more for my own personal interest, although it's a way to vent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what I'd like to know is, because this is still new, I'd like to know why you've decided, you know, the personal reason why you've decided to start doing blogs. And why don't you start, Jake?
Well, I've always... Religion's been a passion of mine, and by passion I mean, you know, suffering, and also it's just, I don't know, it's so, it, like I said, it, per- like seeing my friends and family being brainwashed, to be quite blunt about it. This is my way of at least trying to do something about it, activism, whatever you want to call it. Just reaching out. You know, I've since I've gotten on the internet, I found that there are a lot more atheists who actually share my opinions and ideas. And living in Indiana, there's no one around that's anywhere close to what I think, at least as far as I know. I have my own local atheist group here, but even that's kind of limited. So it's my way of reaching out, helping others, and being helped, too. I mean, it's done a lot for me, confirmed a lot of things that I really thought were true, made me feel better, things like that.
But do you really think that you can reach, do you really think that you're going to reach the kind of audience that you want to?
Not now, but you got to start somewhere.
Okay.
Aside from that, I mean, it's not really, I wrestle with that question every day as far as, like, am I making a difference? Does it matter? Am I just banging my head against the wall, that kind of thing? Yeah. And at a certain point, you have to say, well, if you do nothing, then nothing happens. So, it's a first attempt. There'll be plenty more, though, and I'll learn quickly, I hope.
Definitely. I also want to talk about the whole question of activism later, because that's an interesting question. I think all of us, to a certain extent, have that motivation, and I think if you have a blog, because here's another question, why a blog specifically? I think that if you decide to have a blog, I think part of
atheist
it is...
churches. I mean,
part of
I
it
was saying there is no community for atheists other than the internet.
Right. Well, you have local communities.
Yeah.
But do you feel that the blog sphere of atheists is like your community?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
It's so diverse. I mean, that's what I love about it. It's, the only thing we really share in common is the lack of belief in sort of God. But other than that, it's a free-for-all. I mean, it's really, you find a lot of common themes. I mean, I think a lot of free thinkers or agnostics or whatever you want to call a lot of these people are, they have a functioning brain and they all like to use it. So, everybody's at a different stage, so to speak. They've learned some things. They've been duped by other things. They've had different experiences. I mean, it's definitely, it's a community that I love being a part of.
But don't you agree that the decision of having a blog specifically, part of that is about being able to reach other people?
Yes, I mean, primarily.
I mean, why have a blog instead of just a website or write a book or...
Well, actually, I started out. That's how I started out, was trying to write a book. And then eventually I wanted to do a documentary, and then Brian Fleming came out with his God Who Was Their documentary.
Like he beat you to the punch, huh?
Well, kind of. Actually, that's what I said on the web. I was like, well, I have to give him credit for beating me to the punch. I'm surprised no one else did, though. Atheism isn't anything new. It's been around hundreds of years. There's just now, you can say, without getting killed, I guess. But I'm surprised, it's not more popular.
In my opinion, I think there's probably more than enough room in Western culture for more than one atheistic documentary maker.
Oh, sure, yeah.
I mean, I'd like to see...
I'm not going to make a documentary now because of it, but I started out with the intentions of writing a book. Basically, I don't know, I'm more of a secular humanist, so I suppose, so it's, more of a philosophy. I want a positive philosophy for, your general atheist, I guess. That,
yeah.
Because, you can support Christianity and any religion all you want, but eventually you have to have something in its place, and that's what I hear a lot of Christians complain about in the first place.
That's
now
true.
Now, as you convince me there's no God, what now, and they think their life is meaningless, which is already a joke, but they've been just brainwashed after so, it's pounded into them that without God there's no meaning in life, and it can be farther from the truth. I mean, actually, it's quite the opposite. I think God actually creates a lot of problems for why life seems meaningless and why there's so many problems, why there's suffering.
Absolutely.
Very true. Very true.
How about you, Aaron?
Hmm?
How did you come about this site to?
It was a real gradual thing. I was very interested in, of course, like you guys, in trying to get some message out and help reach people and promote atheism and push it forward and increase its awareness. But I didn't really know where to start at first, and before I even knew what blogs were, I found you, Frank, and Allie, and then found the Hellbound Alley blog and saw Goose in the Antithesis, and I was like, oh, well, these are what blogs are. And then you invited me to Goosing, and I started writing there, and I really liked it. I thought it was a lot of fun, and then I thought, well, could I make a blog that attacks something specific within religion and sounds somewhat unique, yet also is clearly atheistic? And I thought, well, I could go for the afterlife. I could put my guns toward that, you know. So then I just put Kill the Afterlife together and started posting on it, and it kind of took off from there. And now I'm blogging all the time. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun, I think.
Mm-hmm.
To communicate on a medium like a blog, you know. It's like almost like an online diary or journal. And I've started reading tons and tons of blogs. All the blogs I have on my links page for Kill the Afterlife, I visit them regularly.
Absolutely.
Every single one. And they're all very entertaining and very informative.
And varied. I mean, it's great. You get a different attitude with every person.
Yeah.
You know, I love the Hellbound Ali blog. I mean, she's got some spunk there, attitude. Like,
yeah.
Spunk.
Definitely.
My uncles call it gumption.
Attitude, I don't know, whatever you want to call it.
So, is there a reason you think specifically why you chose to do a blog, or is it just something that came from seeing other blogs?
It was probably something that came from seeing other blogs, because I was very interested in increasing my activist activities, and I didn't know exactly what channels to pursue or where to go, you know, but I wanted to do something, and then I saw the blogging community, and I saw, well, hey, you know, this looks like it really works, and a lot of people are sharing a lot of information, and sometimes Christians come around, and then there's a lot of interesting discussion. So I kind of got the idea from everyone else and thought, hey, you know, I could do this too. It ended up being a really great way to direct my energy, you know. So yeah, it was kind of just I just kind of joined in the circle, you know.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Alan?
Well, I've been keeping a diary since I was about 7 years old. And which is interesting, because recently I threw all of them out. And I didn't throw them out for any other reason except there are just too many of them. I had stacks and stacks of diaries that I wrote when I was at junior high school and high school, mostly about guys that I was in love with, and very, very embarrassing to read. So one day I just picked them all up and chucked them.
Well, how good did you chuck them?
When I went back for Christmas last year.
Oh, too many, huh?
Because I thought when I was a little kid, one day somebody would read them and I would be famous or something like that. But
you should have kept them just for your own.
Well, you know, I was just going through a period of purging everything and not wanting to have so much stuff holding me down. But I actually started blogging a couple of years ago on Diaryland, and it was a personal blog over at Diaryland. And then I saw the blogging format, and I thought it was more interesting than what I was doing, which was basically writing logs of my personal life. And some people really enjoyed that, but it kind of, I don't know, it wasn't so interesting to me as much. And I went over to Blogspot, because they had comments, and
yeah,
Diaryland didn't. And since I'm a self-obsessed, a selfish individual, I think everyone should know who I am and what I do all the time, all day long. And so I put up the Hellbound Alley blog, and whatever passion I happen to have at one time, I start writing about it. And I got into atheism as a hobby in about 2000, just before the September 11th thing. I found atheism online, but I've been an atheist for a lot longer than that. And I just thought it was really nice to be able to talk to other atheists, because they're very hard to find out in the world. You know, if you if you're lucky enough to find one at work or something.
I thought you guys had more atheists up there.
Well, no. Well, you see, I'm from Washington State, and
I had plenty of atheists around me. That's not a problem for me.
Well, see, I left my home and came to Quebec to a place where nobody speaks English, and I'm sort of isolated from more of. I'm a little bit more isolated because I don't speak the language. It's better. It's better, I think, to be able to talk to people online and still, you know, keep the dialogue
going. How do you say atheist in French, real quick?
It's basically the same thing.
Oh,
yeah.
Darn.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, we have to go to our intermission, don't we?
Already?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I found something that's been going around the internet on somethingawful.com. It's a clip of a sermon by a preacher who wants to describe exactly why anal sex is against God.
All right.
Well, and he goes into detail, so this won't be work safe.
Okay, not work safe?
Not work safe.
Well, you know, we're already explicit.
But it's church safe, apparently, so yeah.
All right, we'll be right back. Enjoy.
It's time for intermission, boys and girls. I'm sure he's gonna take a deep breath. Relax.
You still could make it! And we live in a time now, brothers have been so put down, can't get a job. A lot of the sisters making more money than brothers, and it's created problems in families. That's one of the reasons our families breaking up, and that's one of the reasons many of our women are becoming lesbians. You got to be careful when you say you don't need no man. I can make it by myself. Well, if you don't need a man, what's left? Lesbianism about to take over our community. I'm talking about young girls. My son in high school last year, trying to go to the prom. He said, Dad, I ain't got nobody to take to the prom because all the girls in my class are gay. Ain't but two of them straight and both of them ugly. I ain't got nobody to take to the prom. Now, can I park here for a minute? I ain't homophobic, because everybody in here got something wrong with them. Whoever you point at, you can point at your own self. You got something wrong with your life. But when you get down to this thing, women falling down on another woman, strapping yourself up with something, it ain't real. That thing ain't got no feeling in it. It ain't natural. Anytime somebody got to slap some grease on your behind to stick something in you, there's something wrong with that. Your butt ain't made for that. You got blood vessels and membranes in your behind. And if you put something unnatural in there, it breaks them all up. No wonder your behind is bleeding. It's destroying us. Can't make no connection with a screw and another screw. Bible says God made them male and female. The Hebrew word neged, which means complementary nature. There is something unique to man and unique to woman, and it takes those two things to complement each other. You can't make a connection with two screws. It takes a screw and a nut.
Okay, intermission's over. The show must go on.
Okay, well, that was as frank a sex talk as I've heard since Dan Savage had a radio program.
Dubious.
Do you know,
dubious.
The guy that does the sex advice column, Dan Savage, he used to have a weekly radio show, and that was just about as frank as his shows, talking about strap-ons and brands of lube and... But, yeah.
Very important.
All the girls in one high school are lesbians. Sounds like a good place for lesbians to go to get an education.
Is it by any chance a Catholic high school?
No, they're. I don't think they're Catholics. I don't know. It's possible. It's a black church. It doesn't mean it's not Catholic, but he's a little bit brusque. It doesn't sound like a kindly old priest or anything.
During the intermission, we were talking about blogging and atheism. our topic. And we're talking about how, well, Christians have a lot of different outlets. They've got church, you know, they got, what do they have?
Youth group.
I really don't know here, but go ahead.
When I was a kid, I was involved in church, choir, youth group,
Sunday school,
Bible study, Christian
sports
groups.
Yeah, but we're talking here
groups.
In terms of a communication.
Well, nowadays, of course, you know, Christians have more blogs than atheists could ever hope for. Plus, there's now podcasting. There's also all the radio programs. There's been a lot of famous Christians.
Too. I mean, television preachers, evangelism's huge.
They own their own satellites, don't they?
Well, the thing is, what we're talking about here is the fact that Christians have all these outlets available outside of the internet.
Well, they've got the money.
Yeah, exactly. Well, if
Except
you look
for Bill
at
Gates,
atheism...
They gotta do something with it. I mean, God doesn't need it.
Well, I mean, they're supposed to be fishers of men, so what else do you do with your money, right? You go out and do diamond mines in South Africa, like Pat Robertson.
Well, yeah. Atheism, on the other hand, is very dispersed. And the internet, part of the internet's power is in being able to provide a space for people who are dispersed and being able to concentrate interests and markets that usually would be dispersed and not really accessible.
I mean, it rarely means anything to do anything in the name of atheism anyway. You do things in the name of a worldview or a principle.
Yeah.
And it has nothing to do with atheism. I mean,
I'm just talking about atheists. Not necessarily atheists. I know what you mean. We're blogging about specific things. Mm-hmm. But what I'm saying is that we, as whatever ideology, have mainly the internet available.
Mm-hmm.
Because of that property of the internet that it's able to assemble people. And like in blogs, you know, you have that whole concept of a network and trackbacks and so on, which is extremely powerful also.
It's much more important for an atheist, or the atheist community, blogging. For the Christians, it's just another tool.
It doesn't have as much prominence in a theistic.
No, it's the same old, I think.
But
you gotta watch that podcasting community, though.
Well, atheists, just as a stereotype, are really solidary people, I think, at least most of them. I mean, there are exceptions.
I think it's more individualistic.
But, I mean, that's still, like you were saying, it's harder to find like-minded people on the streets or wherever you may go, and, there's no other real way of communicating otherwise. I mean, newspapers, that's what we do locally, and even that's really limited.
15 years ago, it was all about...
Maybe producing my own magazine at some point. I don't know what to call it. But
well, yeah, you know, I was into fanzines about 15, 20 years ago. Everybody was doing Xerox magazines. That was another thing, and there's a lot of them out there. I mean...
Free Thought Weekly, Freedom from Religion Foundation, their newspaper, it's Free Thought Today.
So, here's the problem, though. Aren't we basically talking to ourselves? I mean, if we're going to talk about evangelism and activism, that's fine. But, on the other hand, how much of that are we really doing?
Well, I think the main thing, at least what I want, is to get... an idea of what everybody does want as an atheist community. I mean, what's our goals? You know, it is hard because, you know, atheists are, there's a lot of different philosophies involved, but I think if we can pound out the details, you know, or just basically, you know, what everybody is most likely to agree on. I mean, you know, separation of church and state issues, things like that, things that, you know, everybody's going to be on the same page for.
Well, I know...
That's what I've been trying to do, is trying to actually organize some sort of, I don't know, community. That's what Atheism Online was for. I've been part of that for a little bit, trying to just get all the different links of all the different atheist bloggers together and all the different atheist organizations throughout the world. And that's a difficult task in itself. And, you know, you have a lot of people that may not even want to be involved with something like that. But that's my goal, really get the ball rolling, so to speak. I mean, yeah, we are talking in circles a lot of times and talking to ourselves, but that's good, too.
I think Catechism Online is a really good project. It's a really good way to get the concept of having a hub.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's basically you need a core group to get to give somebody for the journalists to to contact. It's like they need to find find somebody other than Michael Shermer to contact whenever they have a question about something.
That's
like
true.
That.
He's a great guy, but still they gotta diversify.
Well, you know, I love it when they ask Richard Dawkins things about, you know, when they go to Richard Dawkins for evolution. But you know, at least they figured out how to go to, like, when Brian Fleming did his movie, they went to some bloggers. That was pretty cool.
Yeah. It's rare when I see, an atheist perspective even talked about on any sort of news outlet.
Maybe because of the blogging, more of that will happen.
Do you guys have contact with Christians on your daily blogging?
Mm-hmm. Not on mine. I mean, I haven't had the pleasure of having a Christian on there yet, and I don't mind that, to be quite honest. I mean, like we're saying, are we talking to ourselves, or at some point you're gonna run into other Christians and other religious people, and you guys may disagree with me, but I still find it difficult to hate the individual. It's the religion that I don't like.
Yeah.
A lot of times, that goes hand in hand, especially when you get more extreme or the fundamentalist things like that.
But you can't hate a belief because a belief doesn't exist without individuals to hold it and to affect it.
So you have to, are you saying you have to hate the individual first and foremost?
No, not hating the individual, but what I see is I don't hate the individual in its entirety. I hate the person. Well, I don't really hate anyone. I'm not really the kind of guy that hates people. But I am against the individual as a Christian, not as an individual. I'm sure the person could be a great person. As a Christian,
thought that the religion was just a reflection of the individual's beliefs. As far as you find your people that are good, whether they're religious or not. I mean, if they're religious, typically they're more liberal, or at least non secular, mm-hmm. things like that.
I think a religious person can be good. But a religious person is good despite their religion, not because of their religion.
Exactly, yes. That's fair.
Exactly. You can't
get away with not dealing with Christians. I mean, if you have a family, it's like most of the time there's going to be somebody there.
Yeah.
Unless you come from a different ethnic background that doesn't have Christians, which is good for them.
I was dealing with religious family members just on my birthday on Thanksgiving Day.
I had to pray
on my goddamn birthday.
You didn't have to pray.
I did that one year, and they didn't make me do it ever since.
You didn't have
to. I think it said something effective, thank you, Jesus and baby Jesus, for killing all the Indians.
Aaron, you didn't have to pray, did you?
I didn't have to pray. I just had to, sit there respectfully while my grandpa said a prayer for the Thanksgiving meal. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to come out of the closet to him, of all people, and give him a heart attack.
Yeah.
But the rest of my family is pretty sympathetic, even if they don't agree with me, that they can know. But when you have the older grandparents involved, sometimes it's still a little too touchy to.
I've been sitting at the table silently during prayer ever since about 1986. So, I mean,
the only time I've seen prayer at the table is when I went to one summer.
You went to my family
with a family in Georgia.
Oh yeah.
It's like they were.
That's something I wanted to ask you about. Actually, you mentioned that there are a lot of people that really aren't influenced by religion very much. You said that you were one. I'm one also. I've been surrounded by religion constantly, but I've never actually been. I don't know if you want to call it brainwashed or directly influenced by it.
Absolutely.
I just wondered, what the rarity of that was. It is pretty rare. I think.
Well, I don't know about here. I know in the U.S. it's probably rare.
I'm sure that here it's really common, because I mean, when I met my in-laws for the first time, I really was surprised that there wasn't a bunch of Christians, because that's what I expected. Everybody,
I don't think any of us are Christians.
No, they're not. There really aren't. I mean, my in-laws are, what a refreshing change. It's just, I mean, I can't understand half of them, but. But, I always expect the older relatives are always going to be
super hard Christians, because that's what I came from. And I met his grandmother. She's 90, she was 91 or something, and she wasn't even really Christian. She just, like, one of the saints, and that was about it. Well, and everybody here is supposed to be Catholic, but I don't think they care anymore. I just...
It's going through the motions. Once again, I think it's really an image. You know, people, they'll... I don't even think a lot of them even go to church anymore. I know my family, the different people that are religious, really, they're religious in name, and they are Catholic. Most of them are Catholic, but they don't really go to church on a regular basis. They might go on the big days when they feel guilty, you know, Easter, Christmas, things like that.
Yeah, they just like to throw on the label and feel comfortable with it, and then not have to go through all the commitment and actually practice what they're subscribing to.
Well, personally, what I think is, to close that topic, because I have another one.
Okay.
But personally, what I think is, I don't think blogs are a very good way to evangelize. I know there have been some people who have been trying to work towards that. There are people trying toward that. For example, the God or Not Carnival. And there are people trying to have an exchange. But I don't think an exchange is going to do much good, because that's not what evangelism is about. I guess if you talk about activism, that's different. Of course, you need to have some kind of momentum going. And what is it?
Well, I just wanted to say, and I don't know if it's because of a blog or anything, but there could be hope. On a note of optimism, last year I was contacted by a newspaper reporter, and I'm not sure if it's because of my blog or because the Hellbound Alley sort of corporation has a lot of different links from a lot of different places, I don't know. But I was contacted by a journalist to find out what an atheist feels like at Christmas time. And, of course, I didn't give her the answer she expected, but I was interviewed for 2 hours, and I'm sure I was put in the newspaper, not online. I don't know if anything much came of it. It's not like they're not used to seeing atheists around in Quebec. But, you know, it was a Montreal Gazette, so it's something.
Like, they shouldn't be asking us what we think about Christmas.
Well, that's what she was. She was asking me.
They should be asking Christians how they feel about Christmas, because...
Well, the thing is, they assume that they already know. And she expected that if she's going to find an atheist, they were going to feel hostile towards Christmas or something, which I'm not.
Because the only thing Christian about Christmas is the name.
Right.
That's all that's Christian about it.
And I like to talk about it all the time, and I'm sure we will later. But I just wanted to say that it's, like I said, you know, if there's a lot of blogs out there, if there's some sort of a core group of, the atheist, not elite, but, you know, the recognizable atheist, it does give journalists of more mainstream media somewhere to go if they really do want to access us. Now they can find us, you know. It's like the old gay community in the 60s. You can't find them because they don't want to get arrested. But nowadays, you know, at least they can find us, and it's not just Madeline Murray O'Hare, and that's the only person to talk to anymore.
I just want to say that there definitely are limits to blogging. I mean, there, you know, first of all, miscommunication, that's an obvious one. I mean, you can only say so much or write so much and read so much, plus misinterpretation. And really, I mean, like what we're doing now, just talking back and forth to get a better understanding of where people are coming
definitely,
from.
Definitely.
And, mm-hmm.
I've had a horrible argument with evangelical atheists just a few...
Yeah, I read that, yeah.
I thought that...
A few people other than you and I am.
He's just used to making people mad, though.
But I wasn't setting on doing it, but anyway.
But no,
matter.
It's true, though. I mean, that's why I was saying you needed to pay attention to the podcasting trend now, because if you can get more... I mean, what we're doing, we don't really call it a podcast, but you could... if you wanted to, but there's only, like, 9 atheist podcasts out there.
And there's probably, like, 1,000 Christian ones.
And, including us.
Including us, and two of them are ours. Two of them are ours.
Is podcasting the same as webcasting?
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
It's like an audio, blog or track that comes out every... Well, you know it better than I. than I do.
Well, they call it podcasting based on the hardware, but you know, it's just an audio program that comes out every so often, and you can update it on your hardware. But it's like the blogging
for audio players, MP3 players, like iPods and other things.
The blogging plugs right into that audio thing, and I think more bloggers should get into the audio thing.
Definitely.
Not because it's hot and trendy, but because it might be better.
Well, you know, you want to—I hate to sound like the Christians, but you want to get them when they're young.
Yeah.
Oh, that's you.
Well, yeah, and it's already hard to be noticed because there are thousands of podcasts. People have been doing that for the last maybe 2.5-3 years, and you know, there's a lot of old school people out there in the whole podcasting world. But if you can believe it, there's only, you know, like 8 atheist podcasts that you can really count on,
including
and they're not, and most of them are really short little clips. So,
all right, well, I don't know. I'll just close by saying I think that blogging. The blog sphere is great for exchange of information and talking about news and things of that sort. But I think the deeper potential is not realized yet. That's just my opinion.
There's a lot you can.
There's one thing I want to talk about for the end of this show. We have about 6 minutes left. There have been some atheist bloggers. I'm not talking about you guys. Who have been wanting, because of the carnivals, for example, to talk about the positives, to be more positive. And I just can't understand that. They want us to stop putting the emphasis
attacking Christian.
On why religion is wrong, why Christianity is wrong. We should put emphasis on the positives. But
this is on the atheism itself, right?
So what I think is that it's not about atheism.
I don't I don't understand how can atheism, an inherently reactionary, negative position. I'm not saying this badly. It's not a question of being good or bad. It's just how it is.
You can't have atheism without A and theism.
Atheism is an inherently reactionary, negative position. Am I right or am I right?
Yeah, it is. So we're in our infancy right now. I mean, as far as blogging goes, and really any sort of atheist activism, I mean, it's really figuring out what is our philosophy.
But how can
you
be positive?
You can't.
People are throwing things out there. Whether, you know, obviously not everyone's going to agree with it. I agree with the idea of keeping a positive image, just because you are definitely going to get more people to listen to you just by not insulting them, first of all, and secondly,
well, that's healthy competition.
Yeah, but how can you do that?
I don't know, just the way we're having a conversation right now. I've had plenty of conversations with Christians. I mean, there are the ones that you just cannot reach. I mean, the ones that...
Yeah, but we're having a conversation about blogging. We're not having a conversation about atheism.
No. Yeah, but I think you don't understand, Frank, why some people want to...
No, what I don't understand is what it means.
Like it's just eloquence.
What am I supposed to write about? I don't know what I'm supposed to write. Positive? Well, how good I feel being an atheist?
No, I think they're saying that you need to write more about what your basic philosophy of life is, your worldview, necessarily.
But then we aren't talking about atheism anymore. But if you do that, you're not talking about atheism anymore.
But like I said, all atheism is just a lack of belief in God.
Yeah.
It's really limited to that.
A person can't impose, you know, a worldview upon all atheists, and you certainly don't want to make people think that atheism is a positive worldview, but it seems like you certainly can, at least in an individualist blog, state your positive positions.
And I've done so.
Yeah.
But
But to censor yourself and not say negative things about Christianity, is that what they want?
I think
that's
ridiculous.
Necessary. That is necessary. I mean, you can't tiptoe around a lot of issues.
Well, all I'm saying nice to want to have a balance, but what does that mean?
Well, I mean, I suppose they could be satisfied if you just find a couple of atheists that can start a charity and call it an atheist charity or something.
I think the basic idea is once you've crushed somebody's soul from telling them there's no God, that you have to offer a substitute. I think that's what a lot of people want.
But it's not atheism.
Right, it would be something else.
Package it with rational individualism or reasons that... that your life is better when it's secular, you know, bringing these other components, these accessories, so to speak, and bring them along with the atheism, because the atheism itself is just a negative thing.
Well,
you could possibly, doing that, you could compartmentalize it, and you would create, like, 1,000 different splinter groups that are all about atheism, but they're about something else. There's the secular humanists, there's the rational individualists, there's the objectivists, there's, you know.
What I'd like to do, which is basically offer a lot of the different, you know, basic views of a secular world, you know, the different philosophies, you know, whether it's, I don't know, well, I hate to say nihilism, but, or materialism, or secular humanism, or whatever it is you're into. I mean, as an individual, I suppose you could.
But isn't that what everybody's doing already?
Well, you know, see, I'm a rational individualist, but there are some atheist blogs that are written by commies.
Oh, yeah, there are.
So it's like...
Yeah.
Probably more socialist than...
Well, I mean, how can...
So it's like, how am I going to...
So what is it they want? They want the blogs that only talk about negative against Christianity to go away? It's like, if this is a group, you know...
No,
in order to create a community, in order to create a community, or, you know, I think if somebody's going to ask that, then they should simply just do it themselves.
But do what?
Whatever it is
I
they think that they
want to do. I just don't understand what it is that this is supposed to be. Like we're saying, you can be positive, but you can't be positive about atheism.
Right.
That's a contradiction in terms. Like,
yeah.
It's like I remember there was a blogger, I forgot who. Who wrote a long entry on how it feels to be an atheist. I was like, what the fuck
does
that
right.
mean?
Oh, that's right. He talked about that on the Jaywalk blog.
No, I don't think
that's
it was
on Unscrewed and Inscrutable.
Well, yeah.
Talking recently.
He said it feels like you're in a world where everybody's crazy.
Yeah.
But of course, that's, I mean, since it's an individual position.
I guess so, yeah. That's true. But it's like, how does it feel to be an atheist? I don't really understand that.
I actually, if we're talking about the same article, I actually identified with that just because of where I live.
Maybe the title would have been better, like, how does it feel
but
to
how
be
does
an
it
atheist
feel?
In a world of theists, you know, or how does it feel to be surrounded by superstitious people when you don't subscribe to the superstition?
Well, but, it certainly got a lot of attention.
But it's different than saying how you feel. I don't know. I see the
how
question
how I feel
feeling.
Being an atheist.
How I feel like a human being, and I don't see where the question of feeling comes
the thing,
into.
The title was tripping you up, I think, or maybe it should have been titled better.
Because Frank,
yeah, I think the title
because
was
Frank
bad.
is very literal, and he picks on every little
oh,
thing
shut
about
up.
Everything he does. But no, I mean, it's true. You don't want to really impose on other people how you're supposed to do a blog. Maybe if you want to ask, it would be nice to be able to read more blogs that were more about what their worldview
right.
is or whatever.
Thank you very much, Aaron.
I think you guys you'll probably all agree, but I've never really understood why each individual blog has to be so specific.
Right.
Guys, we have to go.
Okay.
Thank
oh, no.
you very much, Jake Dowling of Think Outside the Church.
It's a pleasure being here.
And thanks, Aaron. And why don't you give our coordinates?
Yeah, we're at hellboundalley.com is our website. And you can email us at alley@hellboundalley.com. That's A-double-L-triple-E. And next week, or tomorrow.
Aaron, well, next week Aaron's coming back. And do you know the identity of your guest?
Yeah, I don't remember his last name off the top of my head, but he's a Calvinist named John, who's in his early 20s and knows a whole lot about Christianity and the Bible, and he likes to talk with atheists and defend his worldview, and we had a really invigorating conversation a while back, and I think we can have a really invigorating conversation again, so
all right.
There we go.
And after that, we'll have a show about synchronicity. Goodbye, everyone.
And we'll see you next week.